hurt. And our thought processes and our actions are often times governed around self-preservation. And it permeates every part of our being, every part of our life. And then as we mature through life, because we have gained wisdom from circumstances, it may even all the more consume our thought process. Don't do that. This might happen. Oh, better watch out. That might happen. Where does that all come from? We're not born with that. Through the experiences of life, we begin to pick that up and take that upon ourselves. And some can eventually, through the process of age, walking around, carefully stepping every step, guarded, protected, insured, and anything possible to keep from having any kind of a pain, problem, loss, to preserve life. I think that much of the of our course, matter of fact, we take such an affirming step, not just to keep from losing, but to stay in a position of gaining, wherever part of life you want to put that in, gaining, protecting, gain a little more, protect a little more, broaden, widen. And so it takes oftentimes the intervention of God to bring. Somebody said, you know, you can't crucify yourself. You ever try to drive a nail through your own hand? It's painful. Now, I have mistakenly. Whoa, don't ever want to do that again. Check that airline. Check that switch. Get away from that tool. We can't crucify ourselves. Yet Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Do you force yourself into a crucifixion position? Now, I know we're not martyrs, but we really work hardest to preserve and keep from being crucified. And oftentimes it takes God's intervention in our life to bring a crucifying process. Affliction, accidents, disease. It's interesting how when somebody becomes gravely ill, how their entire list of priorities shifts and reassembles very quickly. Now, we don't do that by choice, but circumstances brought into our life, we respond to, and at times maybe wise enough to acknowledge, this is not an attack from the devil. This is the hand of God bringing crucifying elements which will purify me, which will process me, which will mature me in Christ. But there, we can't escape the need of a crucifying process. It didn't just happen at Calvary when you repented and prayed and asked God for his forgiveness. And then we go about life doing everything we can to preserve life and never experience loss. How many of you can right now identify whether it was times in your past or times in your present, that you believe you are walking through one of those crucifying processes. Either in your past or in your present, you can recognize, oh yeah, I'll never forget the time. Let me tell you the story. Sometimes it doesn't become so obvious until after the fact, when you can look with hindsight and look back and realize, wow, here I thought the enemy had gained ground with me, and really it was the hand of God operating his process through me, because he said, look, I'm heading, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. He wasn't heading for a resurrection. Oh, that would come. He was heading for a crucifixion. And really, he gives this to us as a secret in life, or a major tenet of the faith. Come on, pick up your cross and follow me. Be crucified with me. We forget the scripture that says we're perfected through suffering. We have the idea that perfection comes when everything's well. Right. We're living on the fat of the land. No, perfection in Christ comes through sufferings and through crucifying. The book of Mark, please. Chapter 8, verses 34, 35, 36. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. I think that was it. Through 35. No, I'll read it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Again, our motive of operation is to gain and preserve and keep from loss. And sometimes our greatest advantage comes through loss. Have you ever felt of your own self, wow, I'm really insisting on my way? How many honest ones we have in the group? You know, you come to that realization, wow, I am really insisting on, and I am insisting on my way. When you come to the realization, well, I have every right. I should. I am insisting. I am not backing down. This is the right way. I am right and I am holding to this. I am insisting on my way. How strong does your flesh feel in those kind of moments? Pretty right to the top, aren't you? Over the top. Take that attitude through a crucifying process, and what happens? Something of me becomes stripped away. Something of you becomes stripped away. The all-consuming, I'm going to see this through. I'm going to have my way becomes crucified, becomes stripped away. And there's a cleaning and a purifying effect that takes place in our lives. Now, some circumstances seem to be far more sustaining. You know, some things can happen in one day and it's like, wow, that brought an adjustment. Well, praise God, thanks for the adjustment. And on we go. For some, it may be weeks or months. For some, it almost seemed like a lifetime. But you ever noticed the attitude and the spirit that that kind of a person walks in when it seems like their life's been nothing but on a cross, being crucified? They're kind of nice to be around. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 through 11. I'm still musing over the things that I heard in that message from last Wednesday. I hope you have the opportunity to go back and listen to it again. Second Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, crucified, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let's read that scripture right there again. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. When I am strong, he is weak. He is unable to the manifestation of Jesus Christ to others through my mortal flesh becomes weakened because my demeanor, my attitude, my insistence is so strong. Kind of reminds you of the scripture, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So the crucifixion process is needful and necessary. Not just for us, but that others may see Christ through us, that there may be a manifestation of Jesus Christ in us and through our life, rather than always seeing how we react to certain situations. through difficult situations, from undesirable situations. Undesirable situations ought to cause me to slow down and stop and wait. I was wanting to leave a company that I was working for 14 years. I had a couple of businesses going, and I could see that I could get away from this full-time employment situation by picking up another business, and did. Diane's Tortilla Route. Well, I don't know how old I was, but I was not young anymore. And I'd had a lot of experience. And in picking up this Diane Tortilla Route situation, it put a sales manager over me who was about 20. Full of himself. Arrogant. He was all I could take. Matter of fact, I couldn't take him. And one night on the phone with him, I was so livid. I wanted to kill him if I could. Scared my wife to death. She was across the room listening to me talk to this guy. I was fuming when I got off of that phone. I was Holy Ghost filled fume. And that's when I realized, where was that hiding? That was such a crucifying element to me, having to deal with that guy and no way out of it. It rose all the muck and the mire to the surface, to the top. And I was just pouring it out, or wanted to. I don't remember the conversation, just the feelings from the conversation. Well, man, I hated it. What a mistake that was. How could I have allowed myself to get into a situation to have to deal with such a... I wanted to cuss at him. But I didn't. I sure wanted to. And then I realized, this ain't about him. This is about me. Now, you all probably have never had. If there are, I'm trying to get them to the surface of your memory. It's a crucifying. I would never have invited that situation. I'd have run from it. But God, let me help you, son. I love you. A little chastisement never hurt anybody here. Praise God. Some of you have heard me tell, whenever I would travel with Tony Bailey, it seemed like all hell would break loose at home. It didn't matter where we were, Singapore, Arizona, England, his phone would start ringing. And things very close to him would explode. I'd go to the hotel room to rest. I'd come out refreshed. He'd come out all red-faced, eyes all, what in the world has happened to you? Oh, just handling things at home. Oh, I used to get upset about that. He said, yeah, I used to too. But he said, let me tell you what I do with it now. I reach out to it and bring it in to me. That's how I used to do that. And I say, whatever it is you're wanting to do, Jesus in me, do it. Let's get this done. I was trying to figure out ways to get to work around it. How can we do this differently that this won't happen? I'm telling you, it was unfailing. But he helped me to understand. The Lord used, during that season of time, that man greatly from congregation to congregation to congregation. Not one person at a time. It was wholesale fashion. And it seemed like he had to remain in a crucifying process so that as much as God could be manifested rather than the abilities of a man, and that men would not receive credit for what God was doing. It brought me to the place that whenever I would hear somebody's being, you know, they're announcing somebody's going to get up and speak, and they're going on and on and on, and accolades, and oh, this guy is practically an angel or a god or something, you know, and they're going, and I'm thinking, dear God, if they only knew what kind of crucifixion the Lord's going to have to take him through. Keep him saved. I'm crucified with Christ. Say that with a smile on your face. Steve, you're not smiling. There you go. Book of Job, chapter 2 at verse, no, chapter 23. Job 23, 8 through 10. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where doth he work? But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on my right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It behooves us to recognize when the moment begins. Ooh, this is a trial I am moving into right now. I need to embrace it to me. I need to bring it into me. And I need to let it work its process, perfection in me, which means there'll be suffering along the way. But when I come through, some of that attitude will be gone. When I come through, some of the sharpness on my tongue. When I come through, some of the criticism that has found its way to my lips. But when I come through, I'll look on men differently. Praise God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Talk to us, Lord Jesus. Talk to us. We're here to listen, to hear from you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. And then I'm going to turn the mic to Brother Johnstone. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. When I read this scripture, I think of Abraham ascending the mount with his son. Everything in him is being stripped away and tested and tried, and he's in pain, he's in persecution, and he's going through so many things between the valley and the mount where the Lord told him, go and offer your son Isaac as a sacrifice unto me. He, being no different than us, would do everything to protect, You know, I think a parent will even go further to protect a child than they'll even to protect their own self. So it takes us to a whole new level and degree of protecting and preserving and covering. And that would be natural for that man, especially after the circumstances of a Ishmael experience and then a Isaac experience from God. And now he's on the mount. And, you know, sometimes the enemy of our soul, all he can do is just threaten, 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 threaten. Threaten you with loss, threaten you with pain. Ultimately, threaten you with the loss of your life. And I read this scripture and I see Abraham on the mountain having raised the knife and taken to the ultimate test of giving it up, giving all up. And the Lord stopping him and said, wait, stop, don't do that. And then him coming down off of that mountain. You'll never hold that over me again. I was able to lay it out there. I was able to surrender all. You can't torment me anymore with that. I've been tested to the limit. And everything in us fights against it, holds against it, lose position, job, income, home, automobile, clothing, food, health. Some people do more studying about health food than they do. They don't just want to be healthy. They got to be fit. Superman. Likewise, took part of the same. Wait, for go back one more. Sorry. Nope, sorry, you were already there. Okay, took part of the same that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Cast yourself down. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What is the bondage? It's the fear of loss, the fear of death, the fear of pain, striving to preserve. That is a bondage to us. We have need of crucifixion. We have need of denial and dying. We have need of loss. That it won't be held over your head. Some people's every waking moment and action and thought life is given to doing all that they can to keep from losing. Brother Johnstone, would you come? It's the victory beyond the grave.
We pray for a moment here.